that?
Tui and applesauce. Three words for that. Ooh, blah, and blah. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Oh, it's gangbusters.
Damn a shake in FL. In FL and Dave. Damn a shake.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Damashek. What's going down? Hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 57 of the Dave Damashek football program. Available, as always, on iTunes. And as always, I encourage you, nay, demand, that you subscribe ASAP. And as a matter of fact, why don't you get a friend or two to subscribe as well? So much to yap about. We're going to be talking with Brandon Lloyd, free agent wide receiver, in just a moment here. He'll be making his way into Studio 66 with the help of our producer behind the glass there, back in the seat after a week away. It's Black Tie. Welcome back, Black Tie. And right now, let's say a quick hello to our pal to talk about everything going on in free agency and all the nasty things in the bayou. It's NFL.com's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me. It's a huge week for hacky copy editors who get to use the sinners phrase when referring to Saints in headlines around the globe.
Yeah, I guess so, except, you know, I was about to say, you know, it's ironic that they're named the Saints when they're doing such such naughty stuff. So I guess you can group me in as one of those hacks. But, you know, free agency, Mario Williams, or Mario, if you please, out there. Peyton Manning.
Hey, Mario's going to walk.
Mike Wallace, Vincent Jackson. Where will they all wind up? And this Saints scandal, where to begin? Let me say this before we get to Brandon Lloyd. Peyton Manning, let's yap about that. And, listen, tell me why I'm naive, why this can't happen. Is this a players' union violation? Would the union not allow this to happen? Peyton Manning and Irsay have both gone on record as saying, we want to be, Peyton Manning should be a cult for life. And I, you know, take them at their word. You can say that, well, that's not in fact the case. But if we are to take them at their word, why can't they do this? Peyton Manning gets released. The Colts release him. They don't have to pay him his $28 million contract. Mm-hmm. Then he signs for the minimum, the very lowest dollar figure he can possibly sign for.
Oh, yeah.
And then Jim Irsay says, the day you retire, Peyton, I will hire you as our VP of Hooey and Applesauce for $28 million. What loophole is there? I've just found a loophole to make sure he gets that money. And in the meantime, if he really is such a Colts guy, here's how you do it. Here's how you be the ultimate team guy. It's not unheard of for players. We've seen a lot of players do it over recent years, including Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, and any number of other big-time players who have restructured their contract to get their team under the cap and hopefully be able to sign some other guys and make their team better, which is exactly, by the way, what the Colts need. The notion that the Colts in 2011 were a playoff team if Peyton Manning had been under center, I think is erroneous. I think they would have been 7-9, 8-8, somewhere in that range, and I think you agree with that rank. Tell me where I'm wrong. What is crazy about what I just said to you?
That it's completely illegal and it's collusion. I don't know if collusion's the right word. You cannot tell somebody
collusion.
I don't know. That can't be the right word, but what I'm thinking of is you can't tell a player, "Hey, listen. I'm going to give you the league minimum." And then when you're retired, I'm going to give you $28 million because you're illegally circumventing the salary cap by doing that.
So it would be a player. So the players union would speak up.
But
Smith would say, heaven forbid, we won't allow it.
It's a competitive disadvantage if a team could do that. I mean, what would stop anybody from saying, what would stop the Patriots from saying, hey, look, Tom Brady, we're going to pay you the league minimum this year. When you retire, we're going to give you $100 million.
I guess it would collapse the entire system as we now know it. But it
Absolutely.
Seems like
there's
some mild variation on what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yes, it's him just saying, you know what, don't pick up my option. Don't pick up my option, and then we'll renegotiate. Because I would assume, and I've said before, is that I'm not a legal expert when it comes to contracts. But I would assume that he would be able to just re-sign with the team. This deal gets torn up. He signs a new contract. And it's just one of those things. But it's Super Tuesday when we're recording this. And I think it's something that politicians do, is that to the layperson, you know, they sit at home watching this going, why are gas prices so high? How can this not be fixed? Well, there's a lot of things that go into it. And a lot of times there's reasons that we don't know. And I think the reason that it's not happening, the reason we don't know, is that while they're publicly saying, I would like to be a Colt for life, the Colts are saying we would like him to be a Colt for life, is that it's a public posturing. So the Colts don't look like the bad guy. That Peyton Manning doesn't look like the bad guy.
Do you think Peyton Manning, in his heart of hearts, would like to be a Colt right now? Or do you think he fancies the idea? Maybe does Peyton Manning, is Adam Rank saying to me right now that you think that he, Peyton Manning, maybe looks around and says, hey, Miami is a more complete team for 2012 and 2013 than the way the Colts are presently constituted? Because look at the big names that they're out there. They might lose Saturday, you know, Reggie Wayne. We'll see what happens with some other big name guys. They're getting long in the tooth in certain places out on the field. Maybe he's best for, if he wants to win another ring, to move on. Is that where Adam Rank is going right now? Is Arizona a better destination for him with a young defense and Larry Fitzgerald to catch passes?
And
Seattle.
Mm-hmm. The teams that you were mentioning there, Arizona, okay, all those teams. Arizona's the one that plays in a dome, and I think that might play a little bit into where it might have a little bit of impact on where he's deciding to play, because he's played in a dome his entire professional career. I think that in his heart of hearts, he would have liked to have retired a Colt, maybe gone out that way, been the guy who had been with one franchise, because it doesn't happen very often. Joe Montana ended up playing in Kansas City.
I heard about that.
You know, and good for you. And so you look at guys like Troy Aikman stayed with his team, Terry Bradshaw stayed with his team. Not a lot of guys who did that. Fran Tarkenton bounced around. Brett Favre obviously bounced around. And Steve Young started somewhere else before he went somewhere. And so you start looking at those guys at the top of the all-time leaderboard, and you're like, there's not a lot of them. So I think that there would have been something in his heart that said, you know what, it would have been nice to have done this. It would have been nice for the Colts to be competitive. But I think you're absolutely right. The Colts are not going to be a competitive team next year. Why not bring in Andrew Luck? He's going to be ready to go right from day one.
Well, if they pay him, let's say the $28 million, I think is completely unrealistic to imagine that the Colts are going to pick that up. But even if they could circumvent that and figure out a way to have Peyton Manning back on the team, still – The investment in the first round, the first overall pick, I know it's now greatly reduced from where it was last year. You know, that obviously that was the big part of the lockout was restructuring the way those first round picks are getting paid. But still, it's a heavy investment, and you would feel compelled if you have Peyton Manning, he would have to start for you. So I think the Colts sort of see that they need to turn the page, because they're probably not a Super Bowl contender even with Peyton Manning in the fold. All right. I like your, you know, I know you're working on a column about that. You mentioned Joe Montana. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Guys who finish their careers elsewhere. You're working on a little piece for NFL.com, and it's a fun one. So stick around for that. But let's talk about the Saints business. And, you know, I hate to take up a spring break rental property up on Mount Pius to weigh in on this. But I have to say, I don't understand a lot of the players. Ryan Clark says he can't imagine all these players are ratting out on Greg Williams. You know, the code, like it's like the mafia. You know, you know, the worst thing you can be is a rat fink. You know, you don't want to be Sammy the Bull. But on the other hand,
Charles Barkley said that too.
Well, and I get that, but forgetting that piece of it, the idea that a coach is out there encouraging players to injure people, giving financial incentive or otherwise, that if you put a guy out of the game, you should be hailed within this locker room. I get it that there's a fine line, that the entire game of football is legalized assault out on the field, and I understand that defensive players are trying to deliver a lick. But on the other hand, what the league has been doing for the last 2+ seasons is trying to clean up that the idea that it's acceptable to deliver helmet-to-helmet collisions and violent hits. And I get it all. Believe me, I think it's silly that that one could expect a safety or a linebacker to somehow let up when the nature of what's happening on the field. These guys are moving at superhuman speeds, and they have superhuman strength, and a wide receiver catches an 11-yard hitch, and as he catches it, he turns towards you, the defender. You're running full speed at him. He lowers his head. Suddenly, it's a helmet-to-helmet collision, and you get fined $50,000 for that, maybe get suspended. If the league is going to lay out that standard, I got to think that Greg Williams and the Saints are in heaps and heaps of trouble with this thing. It's the difference between, you know, first-degree murder and third-degree murder. If something happens in the moment, there's one thing, that's a lower standard than premeditation. And this is obviously premeditation. This is requiring it or expecting it, laying out the not encouraging, but also essentially expecting that this is what your players are going to do.
James Harrison is guilty of manslaughter.
Yes.
This is first degree murder. Okay.
That's right. That's a fair analogy, don't you think?
That's really good.
I think
actually.
Greg Williams is doomed. I don't know that he plays. I don't think he coaches in 2012, does he?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing, is that a couple of weeks ago, Commissioner Goodell came out and said that he didn't like the level of play in the Pro Bowl. So what you do is have Greg Williams coach both teams in the Pro Bowl.
Ah, interesting.
Problem
solved.
Well,
by the way, you just bring that up. That's an interesting thing that seems to have been lost in all this, all the debate over all this stuff, is what about the fact that Greg Williams' defenses haven't been very good of late. I know they won the Super Bowl and were pretty good, but isn't that sort of the double whammy that, well, all right, we had a cheating bunch and did some nefarious deeds, and on top of it, we weren't all that good. But listen, we'll get back to that, because look who's walking through the door right now, aided by Black Tie. There he is, the free agent, one of the hottest commodities out there right now in Studio 66.
What's
good
up?
To meet you, Brandon.
Feels good. It's like I just walked in. I'm still standing up, got the mic on.
I like the outfit, first of all.
Yeah,
I
can sharp.
Here's what he's got. He's got a blazer, and then underneath that, he's got on a hoodie sweatshirt. And then underneath that, he's got on a shirt and tie.
I feel like you're busting my balls now.
I thought I looked cool.
I think cool.
He looks cool.
You know, the only other guy I think who can pull that off is The Miz.
Who's this?
No, you don't know who The Miz is? Never mind.
It's a wrestling thing. No one cares about that. Don't you ever do this thing?
Yeah, John Cena.
But if you know who John Cena is, how do you not know who The Miz is?
Dude, I'm a casual wrestling watcher.
They were in the... Hey.
As all adults should be.
They were.
If you're over 12, that's the only kind of wrestling fan you should be.
They were in the main event of WrestleMania last year. Sorry that I made the leap. That's like somebody being a casual Giants fan.
Adam, please.
I don't know who these Patriots are.
Can I please stop you, Adam? Brandon Lloyd's time and my time are more valuable than a wrestling conversation.
Right. You're sitting in your undies eating Cheetos watching WWE.
So? I've got a comic book by my side, too. Do you want to go there?
Do you remember King Kong Bundy, Brandon Lloyd? Because that's why he's such a wrestling
fan. Oh,
it's because he looks so much like the old 80s
How
wrestling.
Dare you.
All right, now listen. Brandon Lloyd, let's kibitz here. We were just talking about, first of all, congratulations on the last couple of years.
Thank
really
you.
Gangbusters. And mm-hmm. I dare say, right out of the gate, I may as well say it to you, and it's not just because you're here, you rank for me as one of the most spectacular pass catchers. I mean, in terms of acrobatic catches, I think with John Jefferson, mm-hmm. Lynn Swann, some of those guys.
Awesome.
I mean, some
that
of the catches
the
I've seen you make – I mean, I don't think they're, you know, we always speed and everything. I don't think there are very many guys in the NFL that could make some of the plays that you've made over the last couple of years. How say you?
Well, thank you. No, I pride myself on that, and I have ever since I was in high school. I always would say to myself, I want to be able to catch the passes that other guys won't even go for. And so I consider myself willing to go after passes that other guys aren't, well, maybe see that, oh, it's uncatchable or don't necessarily want to try for. I feel like they're all catchable.
Well, as far as that goes, I'll hit you with a hard one right now.
Okay.
Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Look, you're not going back to the Broncos, and I'm not asking you to sell him down the river. But that, I mean, you've been in the league long enough now. You're used to seeing NFL caliber arms release a football in your direction. How weird was it? I mean, how big a difference, how big a drop off is it in terms of velocity and spin and so on coming out of his
hand? There's not much drop off.
Really?
There's not. And there's right-handed quarterbacks who have way funkier throwing motions than Tim has. And to me, it's not the throwing motion. It's the inability to anticipate and know the coverages. And I think that's what it comes down to. He just doesn't understand the coverages yet. And once he understands what coverage is being run on him and he can anticipate and then go through the motion and throw it, he's going to be fine. But until then, he's going to struggle because you see him, like, going to throw the ball and he brings it back. Mm-hmm. It's like he's pumping, he's faking. And, you know, that's what makes the throw so inconsistent.
His motion is labored, but he's waiting to see the receiver come free.
Come open. And you're not going to be open. You're not going to be running 5-10 yards open. You know, open's a step or two in the league. But you'll see even on that the overtime throw where he stepped into it and threw a laser to Demarius. You know, it was on. When he's stepping into it, he's fine. But he's on his right leg throwing, or he's on his back leg throwing. He's never really like sitting in the pocket and really delivering a line drive passes. So I think once he gets and he's not so antsy in the pocket, he understands the coverages, he'll be able to throw the ball effectively. I think that's what it comes down to.
One thing I'm impressed about, and obviously people can't see this being a podcast, is that Brandon's here mimicking a lefty toss, actually better form than Tebow.
You're crazy.
So I like that. Secondly, now you talked about the dart that he threw to Demarius Thomas. Mm. When you're at home watching that game, do you look at that and were you happy because you played with those guys, or were you upset because they were going to go play your future team?
I think you're
well played.
All right. I was shocked. I was shocked, but at the same time, I was happy for them. You know, good for them that they were able to embrace such a untraditional style of football and be successful with it. Good for them. You know, it was good for them. I don't have any beef with them. Adam Gase, the quarterback coach, is one of my favorite coaches of all time, and I had a good time there. And I don't have any beef with those guys. And I was shocked. I didn't think it was going to work. And they were going to make it to the playoffs, but, you know, good for them.
It seems like, though, and if I may step in again, it seems like the players really enjoy playing for Tebow.
I was in the huddle, too, you know, so, you know, they're, excuse me, his first year. And yeah, I mean, you can see it. You can feel it. It was a difference. And there was, I forget what game it was we had they put Tim in, and it was kind of like we were down by 3 scores, and it was like, all right, I think we've got a chance. You know, he gets to scrambling around and making plays with his feet, takes a lot of pressure off other players. Him being able to advance the ball in that way and not necessarily having to use his arm, it takes a lot of pressure off of the other guys. And so when you do get an opportunity to catch the ball, you know, it's a valid opportunity, and it's not forced and rushed. So I don't know. There was a difference. It was, and you can feel it. He's definitely got a good energy about him.
What about Rank Hints added a little bit? You know, Josh McDaniels, you really had the big breakout 2 years ago, the gangbusters year. Then you follow it up once you go and join McDaniels in St. Louis. Yeah. Now he's up in New England, as you may or may not have heard. First of all, to what is that owed? Why would you thrive under Josh? I can imagine it makes more sense to me that a quarterback would have a certain relationship. Why is it that it works so well with you two?
I think what it is that there's a human element to the NFL, in the sense that guys, coaches, I'll say, coaches have a particular affection for players. And whether it's because the guy's got super size and the guy can run a 4.240, whatever it is, you know, guys have a particular mold of a player, whether it's a running back, quarterback, offensive lineman, receiver, who fits into their mold and how they want to run the offense. And I think I fit perfectly for what he's trying to do. A guy who can run a bunch of routes, who can get open, one-on-one coverage, and then can make a spectacular play here and there.
Well, let me ask you this as far as that goes. You know, are you – I obviously you're not going to tell us, but if you want to break news about that, I really am interested in this team. No. Are you now thinking more of what system is best for me, or how much of it, I always wonder this on a human level, mm-hmm. how much of it do you think like, man, Boston's great. That's a great city. They
all
have good food.
You think about that all the time.
Dude, yeah. San Francisco's a beautiful city. I love knocking around there.
No, I'm telling you, and people always ask me, oh, what was your favorite city you played in? And I love San Francisco. But I can't lie, man. I've played in some awesome cities, you know, Chicago. And, I mean, you know, there's nothing like, you know, summers in Chicago.
It's true.
Hanging out on Lake Michigan. You know, I was up in Lake Forest. So, I mean, there's nothing like a summer in Chicago. But at the same time, there's nothing like fall in San Francisco. And then D.C. being such an awesome city. So I've played in some really cool cities, and I think about that all the time.
I noticed he didn't mention St. Louis as one of those cities, too.
No, I grew up in Missouri.
That's what I'm going to implore to you right now. I don't know if I want you to close the door on the team that plays in St. Louis right now, because I don't know if you heard, they're coming to L.A. It would be perfect for you to be part of the rebirth of the Los Angeles Rams.
That would be a lot of fun. It would be.
What's the best uniform you've worn? From a sartorial standpoint, you got nice fashion.
I love the St. Louis Rams. I always loved Flipper Anderson and Jim Everett when I was a kid. And so those uniforms, especially when we wore the throwbacks, I was geeked up to wear those.
What is it?
It's one of the best uniforms. It's a shame.
When it's the retro, not the new one. But, yeah, the retro one is cool. I like the gold.
Oh, yeah. Not the one. Yeah, not their current.
What about how do you explain the arc of your career? Because it's pretty distinctive, obviously. You had some nice moments early in the career. And then, we've seen Kurt Warner do that. I'm trying to think of who else off the top of my head, guys who have had a couple of years where you just Randy Moss did it in Oakland, but that's explained by the circumstance. Is that what you would say is the middle portion of your career, why it sort of like goes up, then it drops, then a huge spike up now?
Well, I don't think it was ever an up and a drop. I think it was more like a straight line and then a up, you know, because in San Francisco, I got opportunities to play and the last season in, was it 2005, had 700 some yards. And then I went to D.C. and it just wasn't the right fit. Like, you know, I think Chris Cooley came on really strong those 2 years and became a elite tight end. And I just kind of got caught in the wash. And I feel like I was making the turn when I got to Chicago. And then I tore my knee up. And that derailed me for 7 games. And so that was the tough part, because I felt like I was really making that turn when I got to Chicago of being going from just a guy on the team or a guy with a lot of potential to one of the better wide receivers in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a lot of activities that you do outside of football. You're dabbling into music. The television show, it's Blue Mountain State, right?
Yeah.
How do you enjoy that? Is acting something you're going to look for when you're done here?
Well, no, it's still music. So I don't dabble in music. I'm actually in the industry. And I've had a couple placements on video games, NBA Ballers, Phenom, and MPPL Paintball 2009. And then Blue Mountain State picked up my song Heavy in 2010. And so for the second season. So it was just, I just had a song on there, and it was the quarterback Radon's theme song. So that's my connection with Blue Mountain State.
I don't like that. You know why, Brandon Lloyd? I'll say it to your face. You're already obviously an infinitely better athlete than I am. You get to play professional football. Now you get to work in music professionally. Now it's starting to be showing off on your part that you're better than me at everything in life. You're a better dresser than me.
I'm not funnier than you, though. You got that one.
Wow.
I don't know. The jury's still out.
Time will tell. Give me 6 more months here. We'll see what I can work up. All right, now, here's a serious subject for you. I'm obligated to ask this because it's what anybody associated with football is talking about this week. Uh-oh. What about this scandal down in New Orleans?
Yeah. Yep.
Would you go, first of all, would you as a free agent, do you I know this. I don't want to put you in a
tough
spot.
Well, Greg Williams is now the defensive coordinator. I mean, does it paint the way you look at the team now? Are you still in contact with people over there? Obviously, you're a free agent.
No, I don't know.
Or do you scratch off the Saints as a possible destination, because they very well may be in the market for a wide receiver if Marcus Colston doesn't work out?
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. You know, what are the ramifications going to be?
I guess we don't know what the
Sean
penalty
Payton
is
going to be suspended. Also, You know, but as far as Sean Payton being suspended, that doesn't stop the offense from still functioning with
sure.
if they work out the situation. Well, they franchised Drew Brees, right?
They did, yeah.
So it's not going to stop Drew Brees from performing. It's not going to stop anybody performing from performing. So I don't know. I think it's an ugly situation.
What do you – I mean, when you hear about that, is that – because a lot of players – I get the whole thing about that you don't want to be a rat fink and be tattletailing and all that sort of thing. But that is – remove that part of the equation. What do you think about – is this the first you've ever heard about coaches doing this?
No, you hear about it, but it's hearsay.
Uh-huh.
And I heard about it this year with me.
Really?
From another team. Yeah, another.
They were targeting you.
Yeah, another
is
player
it flattering?
Told me. It's I was told to take it as a flatter, like, as it being flat.
from the DB who delivered the nasty.
Right.
You should be flattered that
trust
I just
me,
did that.
Trust me, I respect you.
It's because you're good that I did that.
Right. You know, and so it's supposed to be, but in reality, it's just not cool. You know, it's offensive players being offensive minded and defensive players being defensive minded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not right. It's not respectful. And I don't want to go there and I don't want to do that to another player. But if another player does that to me, then it's like, you know, am I going to let this continue to go? Do I take my shot back or? I know what kind of player this guy is. Do I let him do it to me first and then I, you know, retaliate? It's a jacked up thing, and I think it's always better when guys go into the games and we respect one another and you take your fair hits when you got them, and if you guys get hurt, that's part of the game. You know, that's how I feel about it.
Wow. I guess we're on the same page on that one.
It's
the only thing that's surprising to me is that so many players are speaking up and saying, like, this, of course this is fine that this goes on. That's the only surprising element.
It's not fine because you got to talk to a player who got jacked up on something like that.
Yeah.
And then you talk about it being fine.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah. So, talk to a player who's lost his career because
talk to Lynn Swan from 30 years ago about the Raiders doing it to him in playoff games. But Brandon Lloyd, thank you very much for stopping by here, Studio 66. Real quick, who could pull that outfit off better, me or Rank?
Rank.
What?
Oh, yeah.
That makes him cooler than me because you're saying that he can be more
in
like
honor
you.
Of you, I'm going to do the you can't see me.
Yes. I don't like any of it. All right. Show yourself the door, Brandon Lloyd.
Wait, who do you got? Do you know who The Rock is?
Yes.
Okay, no more
the
wrestling.
Rock or Cena.
Casual.
Who's going to win WrestleMania, The Rock or Cena?
I think they're going to give it to Cena.
He's an adult. He doesn't care
what
happens.
He knows enough.
I just saw that preview, so I was kind of excited about that.
Don't sully your good name by talking wrestling right now, Brandon. Look, he plays real sports.
All right.
You know what? After this, after that snub, plus the music, plus the professional football, that's, you know, I feel shown up altogether, Brandon Lloyd. Have a good time out
Thank you.
Great to see you. Thanks
see you
for stopping
good
by.
Seeing
there he goes, the great Brandon Lloyd, one of the hottest commodities out there on the free agent market. But can't wait to see where he winds up. The noise about Josh McDaniels, you know, the relationship like we talk about, it does make sense that from a Patriots standpoint that they wouldn't have to give up a first-round draft pick, which they would in order to get Mike Wallace. Then again, there's Vincent Jackson out there. Brandon Lloyd makes an interesting fit, though, as on the outside when they already obviously have Wes Welker and those two tight ends. He would fit nicely in there. I think the best fit for them, the phrase that everybody loves is, he takes the top off the defense. Brandon Lloyd, for all of his virtues. I mean, has that phrase ever been uttered in mankind's history? That guy, that receiver, takes the top off the defense. I think six months ago it had never been uttered, and now suddenly it's ubiquitous about any fast guy. And Mike Wallace is a guy who I think the Patriots are going to really take a run at. It's why I get the McDaniels tie-in, and why it would be appealing for Brandon Lloyd to go to New England, but. What Belichick has accumulated, I think it's 243 first-round draft picks.
I think they have every first-round pick.
Something like that. This is where you burn it, ideally. This is the opportunity you use one of these picks to get someone like Mike Wallace. I predict that the Steelers have cleared enough cap room now that they've moved heaven and earth as a franchise, plus the likes of Roethlisberger and everybody else saying, we're in our respective primes. This team is close. You know, but you're the linchpin to it. You must come back. Then again, I can see the virtue in it if he does walk that two first-round draft picks to get that defense still younger than in spite of all the purging they've just done. Plus, you could also maybe go and get another offensive lineman. Anyway, Mike Wallace, I predict all of that, what I just said over the last 27 seconds is moot because I think Mike Wallace is going to wind up because of the moves that the roster moves that the Steelers made, painful though they may be to Steeler fans, are going to end up with Mike Wallace back there. Among those three, rank, last week I mentioned my flight from O'Hare to LAX and that there were three kind of similar low-grade celebrities on the flight.
Okay.
Specifically, Sinbad, Tom Green, Rob Zombie. The truth is, two of those guys were in first class. One was in coach. The guy in coach was Rob Zombie. Not just in coach, mind you. In the middle seat, 30E, dirty 30E. I liked it. We put it to a poll at DaveDamashek.NFL.com. People voted on it. 50% of people said that Tom Green's the
one. Tom Green.
If the Fates had anything to say about it, they say that Tom Green deserved the dirty 30E. Let's do that. Brandon Lloyd, Vincent Jackson, Mike Wallace.
Okay.
Do we also want to include Dwayne Bowe?
No, let's leave Bowe out of it because he's franchised. I don't think he's going to have much of a chance to leave Kansas City. If we're going to talk, let's talk this.
Who gets dirty 30E?
This is the Patriots team flight, so this is specific to the Patriots.
All right, if you want to play it that way, let's
play
it.
It this way.
All right, go.
There's a lot of different ways we can go. You mentioned it before. The Patriots have a need for a guy who can, as you say, take the top off of defense. Obviously, Mike Wallace would be, in a perfect world, in a vacuum, with having to give up nothing.
Would be a fair facsimile of where they were when Randy Moss was at his best, had his best year when they almost went undefeated.
Absolutely.
Not as good, but fairly close.
Absolutely. That's absolutely the truth. I would put him in there. Brandon Lloyd would be the second best option with there. And I would have Vincent Jackson as the third one. He's in the dirty 30E. And there's a couple of reasons for this because
he cuts the same figure as Aaron Hernandez.
Yes.
Physical figure, basically.
Yeah, he's the same,
same type of body. Five.
So you're going to be in there competing with Wes Welker. You're going to be competing with Gronkowski. He's going to be there too, and Hernandez. And when you look at the history of free agent receivers who switched teams, it doesn't always work out. Now, obviously, Terrell Owens went from San Francisco to Philadelphia, put up some good numbers with Philadelphia. But you start looking at guys like Alvin Harper, Peerless Price, Andre Rison, even Randy Moss when he went to the Raiders, that some of these guys, if they go to a team that doesn't have a great quarterback or anything, they tend to struggle. And obviously, Vincent Jackson wouldn't have that problem going
to
New England.
Tom Brady is a high pedigree.
Exactly. But you're going from being a number one guy to now competing with these other guys for catches.
Best fit, and Mike Wallace, Brandon Lloyd, too. Dirty 30E, Vincent Jackson. I'm surprised to say that I agree with you on this.
And thing. I think, but I do think that Brandon Lloyd is probably the most likely to go. Because I don't think, because Belichick, even though he does have those draft picks, and you make a perfect point, this is now the time to start.
You have the luxury to do it.
If Mike Wallace was available in the draft right now, it would be insane not to take him at 21 or 24, wherever the Patriots are drafting. It would be insane not to do that. But, you know, Bill Belichick still loves those draft picks. And as a matter of fact, I'm in my latest mock draft that I'm working on right now, I think the Patriots will end up trading one of those to get out of the round because the Redskins are going to trade in. They're going to trade into the low part of the first round to get the Oklahoma State quarterback. So they're going to start
Brandon Weeden.
Yes, thank you. And so that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's just kind of a little theory I'm working on right now.
28-year-old Brandon Weeden, a dear friend of Dave Damashek's after the combine.
Absolutely. You guys look close. And that's another thing, too. You bring that up. The Ultimate Road Trip was why you're in Indianapolis. If you want to see any of Dave Damashek on the Ultimate Road Trip, NFL.com/Ultimate Road Trip.
Oh, aren't you sweet? Yeah, I went out to the combine for episode two of my journey across these United States. And next stop, I don't know, I might have a pro day because like Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III, Dave Damashek did not throw at the combine. So I'm more inclined to maybe choreograph exactly what we're doing and really show my wares to all the personnel guys out there. Then we'll probably end up going to the NFL draft. So be on the lookout for that. But Rank, you mentioned things that working on and things you're working on.
But first, what about Mario Williams?
What about that?
Do we want to discuss where he's going to go?
Well, you know, so many possibilities, but stick to the Patriots. If you were Belichick, what do you feel like you would rather have? Would you rather have Mario Williams, or would you rather have one of those receivers? If you can only have one, whichever of those, let's say it's Mike Wallace, if we agree on him as the best of those names, would you rather have Mike Wallace or Mario Williams?
I would go with the receiver, because when you play that 3-4 defense, and remember, when Mario Williams, what he can do is he can play the outside in a 3-4 defense. He can play the end in a 4-3 defense. You can see, and you see this with the Steelers, you're able to rotate guys out of the end of that 3-4 defense and still be pretty effective with it. And the Patriots will probably use one of their draft picks to take a guy down there that they can plug in to hopefully give them a pass rush. And so you would take the free agent, you would take Mike Wallace, because there probably isn't a receiver in the draft who's comparable to him. What I like for Mario Williams, and I wrote this on NFL.com in the instant debate today, or excuse me, on Tuesday, I like him to go to Chicago. I think it would be kind of cool to kind of have him paired with Julius Peppers, because the Bears need help on the defense. They need help in the secondary, but...
That's exactly right. Same thing with the Cowboys. You know, they have DeMarcus Ware. It's the same thing. People always get very literal about our pass defense is crummy. Therefore, we need to beef up the corners. We need a shutdown corner. But the other way to skin that cat is to get a fiercer pass rush. The Ravens and Pittsburgh have both, over the decade, had many seasons where they've shown they have mediocre to substandard DBs, but they make up for it by having a brutal pass rush. If you obviously limit the number tenths of seconds that a QB has to stand back there, the less effective he's going to be. So if you did have that in Chicago or Dallas, imagine how brutal that pass rush would be.
Absolutely, especially for the Bears, too, when you're in a division that has Aaron Rodgers, has Matthew Stafford. Getting a pass rush and making those guys throw sooner than they want to, making them a little bit uncomfortable in the pocket, is just as good as signing a shutdown cornerback, in my estimation. And I know the Bears are one of the teams that are in the mix for Vincent Jackson, too. And again, if you look at some of the
They need a number one receiver.
Jay Cutler
is so hamstrung by – I mean, Matt Forte is great, and the offensive line stinks, and everybody talks about that, how bad the offensive line is, and that is the biggest problem. But the other thing is Johnny Knox. I think Johnny Knox is a nice number two.
Yes.
But when he has to be the number one guy, that's a real problem for them. Imagine, then you get Devin Hester. You know what he could do if he were the number three?
Right.
He could take the top off the defense.
Absolutely. Yeah, there you go.
That's what he could do.
Way to bring that back.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Vincent Jackson is the answer for them, because, again, you look at guys, Vincent Jackson's put up good numbers with the Chargers. But, you know, if you look at the way that they throw the ball, they got Phillip Rivers. So he's obviously got an elite quarterback. They've got Antonio Gates there, who actually frees up a lot of the middle. You go to a team like Chicago, there's no guarantee that he's going to have the similar production, because it just doesn't seem to work that way.
Of course not, but disagree with you, because who's Vincent Jackson? Who's he sort of like? Brandon Marshall, if we can, in broad strokes, who's he kind of like? He has that same sort of stature and ability, I would say. I think Brandon Marshall's a little bit better. But anyway, Jay Cutler thrived with him in Denver. Mm-hmm. I think that they could make some hay together.
Interesting. And I guess, you know what, in the track record for guys that the Chargers jettison, do pretty well. Drew Brees, Michael Turner, Darren Sproles.
True, so true.
They've had some pretty
All right, that brings me to free agency rank.
Mm-hmm.
It creates the opportunity for you to look like a sucker a lot of the time. But I'm glass half empty. You're glass half full, which is you like the idea of ironic jerseys.
I do.
Guys who got, maybe the best example is a guy like Johnny Unitas. If you had a Johnny Unitas Chargers jersey, I don't know who's it's good for, though. I wouldn't want to be a Chargers fan wearing a Johnny U shirt, I don't think. And you wouldn't want to be a Colts fan in that either. But you're cobbling together a little piece for the .com about the most ironic jersey out there, and
I've thrown a couple of out there because
I think you look like a sucker, because I almost bought a Santonio Holmes, the Steelers retro jersey with the all gold with the gold hats, which are ugly, but the jerseys themselves are nice. They're all gold and black. And I almost got a 10 just because it looked so cool. 10, Holmes on the back. You know, if I had that now, though, ironic and
you
not
look,
good.
No, because he was still a Super Bowl MVP. I don't think that it quite fits what I'm going for, because part of the reason I'm doing this, I own a Bo Jackson Angels jersey.
That's nice.
Which I think is cool because Bo Jackson, during his illustrious career, did make a stop in Anaheim. And it's kind of cool to go out there with a Jackson 8. People might think that it's a personalized jersey or something like that. But no, Bo Jackson. And the hardcore fans who are around back in that era, and they, believe me, there weren't many of them, they understand. They get it. It's kind of fun to have. And you start thinking of these guys who had...
Franco Harris, Seahawks.
See,
nice.
That's a fun one. That's a fun jersey
but
to
who
have.
Wears it?
Oh, it's just a fun jersey to have. It's just
but
a,
to
a
wear,
nice,
wear. Like, as a Steeler would, fan, would, shame the devil. I would never wear that.
But a Seahawks fan wears it. I think it's pretty cool.
Is that right?
Like a Broncos fan wearing a Tony Dorsett jersey.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty cool. The Joe Namath Rams jersey is always pretty good. See, Joe Namath Rams, good. Dieter Brock Rams, not so much.
Oh, there he goes. He got one. Good for you. Adam Rank gets the Dieter Brock reference.
A I'm cool smiling.
One.
Do not.
Unironic cool one is Dieter Brock Winnipeg Blue Bombers jersey.
That would be handsome.
Okay, so Black Tie. Black Tie wants us to wrap up already. How long have we even been spinning, Black Tie?
Going for a tight 45 here, guys.
How far are we right now?
This is going to be a first tight 45.
We're coming in under 45. What have we done so far?
Right,
I feel like we've talked for 11 minutes.
42
minutes. Well, I'll tell you what.
Can I get a couple of the guys from Twitter who actually had some good ones? They expanded on sport because a lot of people had some great ideas.
Adam, let me just say, before you do, let me say this to you. When you use the adverb actually, it means that you're surprised that that person could come up with something. As in, wow, Adam Rank actually had something funny to say. That's condescending.
Is that right?
Yeah, don't you think so? Hey, Black Tie actually did a good job on producing the shop.
Because I meant
that. It expresses surprise on some level. So you shouldn't say, the people who follow me on Twitter actually had a good idea or two here. You
that
see?
Is, yeah.
It's condescending.
What I meant is that it's actually funny that you had a decent jersey idea with Franco Harris of the Seahawks.
No.
The Rank amateurs.
Don't try and shift this over to me.
The Rank amateurs are solid. They come up with it.
Follow Rank at Adam Rank, or you can follow me at Damashek.
But right. Andrew Berg, hold on, Black Tie. I'm going to get to a couple of these. Andrew Berg, Mike Piazza on the Marlins.
Nice.
Like, that's a fun jersey to have.
He was there for 11 minutes or so before he got traded on the Mets.
Yeah, everybody remembers that. And then Ford Kendrick said, Kobe Bryant as a Charlotte Hornet.
That's a nice
I don't know if he had one. He got handed a jersey. I am sure he didn't put it on or anything, but that's a cool one.
This doesn't fit the description of ironic, but you know what the Kobe Bryant jersey to own is? Eight. The Lakers
eight. Oh, yeah.
This trend now, as far as I know, has only really been followed by LeBron James, although I guess Ron Artest changes his numbers, and a lot of hockey guys flip their numbers when they switch teams.
Carlton
they go from
Fisk.
27 to 72. Yeah, Carlton Fisk. I guess it's not unique to do that. But Kobe Bryant just willfully changing the cool number 8 to meaningless 24 is lame.
Yes.
Except unless deep down, and he maybe has never admitted it, but maybe it's that he wants to show I'm one better than number 23, Michael Jordan. Has anyone ever explored that?
I'm sure that's the case.
I can't be the first person to suggest that.
Everybody thought that when he did that.
All right, like, Black Tie's going crazy. What are you going crazy behind the glass about?
I think he wants us to do number 57 because this is episode number 57.
Oh. Okay, so we honor the player who wore it best, not just in football history, but in all sports. I would say baseball because 57 was Steve Howe, right? The late.
He was 58.
He was 58?
K-Rod was 57.
Bobby Thigpen was 57, right?
Possibly.
Or did he have 57 saves? No, he had 51. Bobby Thigpen, the relief pitcher for the White Sox.
It was K-Rod was number 57.
57.
57 is also the freeway outside Angel Stadium.
Terrific.
So when you're watching a game and you look out in center field, that's right, you don't watch baseball.
Stop it. Mike Merriweather, great linebacker from the greatest collection of linebackers in NFL history, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Merriweather, a good one. Ricky Jackson, arguably, I just talked about this with somebody the other day, until Drew Brees at least, you could say that Ricky Jackson, greatest Saint of all time.
Over Archie Manning?
Sure. Archie Manning's numbers don't hold up. I think Ricky Jackson, the now Hall of Famer, Ricky Jackson, Pat Swilling was 56.
As a Saint.
Oh, no. Ricky Jackson, definitely
Sam Mills.
In terms of – Sam Mills wasn't there all that long. He's much more of a Carolina Panther. And yeah, but those guys were – it was Pat Swilling, Ricky Jackson, Sam Mills, and who was the fourth linebacker when they had that
Vaughn,
great –
Vaughn Johnson?
Von Johnson, I think, is correct. Yeah, because Von, not Von Miller and not Von Dunbar, but I think you're right.
Von Dunbar. Was he at school? Or was he in school when you were
Indiana
there?
Indiana University running back. Great running back.
You were
back.
There, right?
When ripped there? His knee before his career ever really got underway. I think he was going to be a star in the NFL.
I think so, too.
Clay Matthews, the Browns linebacker. What's son Clay Jr. wear?
He's 52.
Right? Yeah. Dwight Stevenson, the Hall of Fame center. That's not very exciting. 57.
Clay Matthews.
There wouldn't be really any legitimate hockey players, I wouldn't think. Basketball.
Johan Santana.
Ooh, I stand corrected. Yeah, he was good. So, who are we going? I'm going Ricky Jackson.
Okay.
Is that cool with you?
Fair enough.
Ricky Jackson gets the honor. He is number 57. He's our guy. And that, I guess, is that, right? Oh, and Bart Scott. That's another guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's not. He doesn't really rise to that level. All right, let's go out with this, Black Tie. Do me a favor. Do us all a favor. The one-man house band Dick Banks is the songsmith of the show, the official songsmith of the show. Mm-hmm. But our pal Karen Astic dropped us a dynamite song. The one genre that Dick Banks doesn't get into, besides trance, that is,
right.
is hip-hop. Karen Astic, who's provided some songs in the past, has dropped us another one. This one honoring the podcast. You, oh. Rank, you, Black Tie, and me, Dave Damashek. Play that one for us real quick. And hello, football fans, it's Damashek. He's got this NFL program thing in check. It's the Alex Trebek of the football intellect. Next guy here tells the dogs, call him Adam Rank. The looker of a bunch of Englishman, handsome Hank. What's the hoop in the time machine? Gonna get the scoop, flux incapacitated. From a third fascinated. Paint the ugly uniforms, I'll get them confiscated. Call him Peyton Manning's, but this show is like Tom Brady. The podcast is the best, it's like the Super Bowl, baby. Is applesauce and hooey if you got the wrong impression? Though embarrassing yourself like you got an interception thrown. Choreograph ballet when you dance up in the end zone. Talking trash to all the refs, kick you out cause of your tone. Won't be left alone, get the brown bag of shame. You did this to yourself if they call such your name. Love the list, talking all about breakfast. What happened last week in sports? Damashek will reminisce. So the land of the fox, that will spark my interest. Breaking out the box and I'll play me connect four. Feeling like Miami Dolphins with your low score. Championship that Dave was in, it turned into some folklore. Became legendary like Mean Joe Green. Like Emmitt Smith, Deion Sanders, Aikman on my team. Time for me to get this kick, we already in overtime. We gonna get 1,000 yards, they never left the scrimmage line. Right between the hashes, the refs gonna raise their hands. It's been a thin slice of heaven, football fans. Wow, groovy.
Fantastic.
Groovy is, I think, what the kids would call that. You like that one, Black Tie?
It was good. Your street pair just went up to negative 90, went up 10.
What a great way to go out. One last little dig at Damashek from Black Tie. Thanks for making it in this week. What a thrill it is to see you again, Black Tie.
And we actually almost hit a tie 45.
Okay, here's what else I want to hit. Another podcast this week. I'm in. How say you, Rank?
Let's do it. Let's do it from... Let's do it from the Big West Tournament out in Anaheim, California, which is where I will be, watching Cal State Fullerton advance to the NCAA Tournament.
Oh, Rank. All right, well, listen, Brandon Lloyd, gangbusters. Best wishes to him, Black Tie, Rank, and you. Thanks so much. We'll be back for more Hooey and Applesauce later on, but in the meantime, it's been a thin slice of heaven.